At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Wait, but can you... Wait, but can you guys hear me well?
Yeah, really well.
We can hear you much better, but I'm going to...
Why don't we do the pod like this? Why not? Listen, 90% of our viewers listen to us. They don't watch the video. I'll talk like this.
Here's the problem. The problem is...
What's the problem, one, Josh?
One, you have a little gingivitis.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
And two, I think you need a tonsillectomy.
I don't think this... My teeth are so aligned, aren't they?
They are, and they're white, too.
They're too bright.
They look good.
That's
they
another
look
problem.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very close.
Yeah.
Okay, jeez. You got to back up. It's making me physically nauseous.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop. Vincent, you know, sometimes someone has an idea. You don't know if it's a good idea. Sometimes they go on. Sometimes they stop. Well, we had an idea to do a podcast, and we didn't know if it's a good idea, but we decided to do it 71 times because this is now the 71st episode of FTS.
Isn't that crazy?
And our numbers are growing like crazy. For some reason, it's not a crowd that likes to email a lot, but they like to watch us on YouTube and Instagram and now TikTok, apparently. And you're also downloading. So we're happy to have you. We are looking forward to episode number 71. Lots going on in our lives. We'll catch you up here. But I'm your host, Dave. I should mention myself first. I am one of the hosts here, but I'm not the only host. I have two other hosts that always join me no matter where in the world they are. First one
like
is
Carmen
Josh.
San Diego.
Yes, that's right. Where in the world is Josh and Omar? But first we'll start with Josh. Josh, how are you doing this week?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I am still in Philly, so I'm not anywhere special. But I was recently in New York and for work, and I actually took my daughter along.
Really?
Yeah, so she
meetings?
Yeah, to meetings. So she wanted to see what, you know, my job was all about. And she's also feels like she just got back from a semester abroad, so she's feeling antsy. She needs to get out of the house.
Okay.
She's like, "Where's your next trip, Dad?" I said, "Well, I'm going to New York for 2 days." She goes, "Well, all right, let me tag along." So she shadowed me, which was really cool. And she went to all of my meetings.
She asked questions?
She did not ask questions, but she sat there and took it all in. They were asking her questions, of course.
Yeah.
But it was really good. But what I wanted to tell you was, so that night I wanted to do something because we had one night in New York. I'm like, I want to do something a little special. So, you know, a little daddy-daughter time. And she loves stand-up comedy just like, you know, we do. And so I said, oh, we really have to go to the Comedy Cellar. It's such a cool place. It's such an iconic place. Tickets sold out.
Mm.
So I'm like, oh, it sucks. So I'm looking. I'm like, all right, where's the next best place? So I got tickets to Gotham Comedy Club, which I've never been to, which is like in the Flatiron District. You ever go there, Omar?
Yeah.
You ever been to that one?
Not in a while, but I've been there, yeah.
So we went, and it's a really cool room. And still intimate like the Cellar, but not nearly as, you know, claustrophobic as the Cellar is. And so I'm telling my daughter, because we got there a little early, and I'm telling her, I'm like, hey, you know what? She's looking at the lineup of comics. She's like, I don't know any of these people. I said, first of all, it's always a good show. I've never had a bad show, even though you might not recognize the name. It's really good. And I said, second of all, I've been to the Cellar so much, people sometimes just drop by.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. People drop by. She goes, oh, my God, that'd be amazing. And as she searched on her phone, she's like, you know what? Because we love Jim Gaffigan, the two of us. We love Jim Gaffigan. It was the first concert she ever went to, comedy show. And she's looking, hey, Gaffigan lives in New York, and he's not on tour right now. He goes on tour in a couple weeks. I'm like, well, okay. I don't know what's going to happen. It's a Tuesday night. So let's just – so sure enough, the host comes out, and she goes, oh, we got something special for you now. And she's introducing the first act. And my daughter looks across the stage, and sure enough – Jim Gaffigan.
No way.
Oh, yes.
Wow, you get all the luck.
Yeah, man. It was unbelievable. We were just talking about him. He comes up, he does 20 minutes, new stuff, absolutely hilarious. And then he says, and my daughter and I are going nuts, really can't believe this. This is so cool. And we're on the stage, by the way. We're at a table next to the stage. And it's amazing. And then Gaffin goes, okay, listen, I got my start here. I want you to really, you know, support these comics that you're going to see. And this is another guy who, you know, he's a young guy. He's getting his start too. And I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. And he goes, so let me bring him to the stage. Jerry Seinfeld.
Stop it.
Yes. And Seinfeld was there too.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. And then he came on and did all new stuff. He was trying
all
stuff
new
out.
Stuff.
Oh yeah. That's why they're there. That's why they drop in. It's, you know, yeah. It's before they take it to a bigger audience or before they take it to on TV or recording or whatever. They do these, you know, small rooms just to try it out. And he had a piece of paper. He even forgot the punchline on one of his jokes. It was really funny.
I bet you that's funny too.
Yeah. And then he did a Q&A. And my daughter's going, oh, you got to ask him something. And I'm panicking. I'm like, what do I ask him? So I shouted out, hey, Jerry, what's your favorite cereal? And then he started talking about that and was answering my question. It was cool. It was a lot of fun. So it was
did you ask him about the Far podcast?
No, it was.
I'm kidding.
I know. Can you imagine? That would have been
great. Why'd you track him down? We just talked about it last episode.
Yeah, I know.
You should.
But it was neat.
Him, Jerry. Between Dave, myself, and Omar, who would you want to leave? And like, get this guy out of here.
Jerry, when you discover us, who
fuck Mary kill, Jerry. Fuck Mary kill.
Who are you gonna kill here? It was funny. There was we were at a table of four, and the one guy who sat down with us first, he was a weird dude. Nice but weird. And he had two twin daughters and he was there on business and he's like just telling us, I just thought I'd come here and spend a night, and he was telling us stories about how I said, you ever come here before? And he said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He goes, well, when I come to New York, I'm blackout drunk a lot. I'm like, what are you talking about?
From his daughters?
Well, his daughters weren't there. Oh. He was there on business. He's from, I think, somewhere in the Midwest, and he was there in New York, but he's telling us some weird stuff. Then this other guy came down and sat with us, this guy Theo, really nice guy, but he goes to comedy shows, he told us, three times a week.
Wow.
Three times a week. I'm like, oh my God, that's a lot. I love stand-up comedy, but that seems
you would think
excessive.
You would take the joy out of it, that you'd start to become a critic. Like, you would be like, that's a seven, you know, rather than just going and enjoying the moment, you know?
Right.
That
but
often.
He came that night because there was a guy named Tim Dillon performing. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Tim Dillon. I had not heard
Matt
of him.
Matt Dillon's brother.
It is not Matt Dillon's brother or Bob Dillon's son.
Bob,
It's neither.
Damn it. Damn
but
it.
This dude is hilarious. I mean, that was my biggest takeaway from that. He was so. If you get a chance, look up Tim Dillon.
Does he have
very,
specials?
Very funny.
Did you look him up?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, there's stuff you can find. But how about that? Gaffigan and Seinfeld on a Tuesday night pop in back to back.
They went on tour together, so it's interesting.
Exactly.
Are they still working out a show together? Or are they just like
no? This was completely just them. Probably hanging out prior. Because I asked the guy on the way out, hey, does that ever happen? I mean, when's the last time that happened? He goes, they've never come together. They stop in because they want to try new stuff. But I've never had both of them just pop in at the same night, the same time.
Man.
It was wild.
I mean, if you knew that was going to happen, what the price of those tickets would be astronomical. That's incredible. Yeah.
And we were 20 feet away. It was amazing. Oh. It
Good
was really
you.
Awesome night. It was a lot of fun.
So your daughter's view of your job is going to be so skewed.
Well, no, she was very bored with the meetings. She goes, Dad, I didn't understand anything. I didn't understand any of the words you guys were saying. I'm like, yeah, well, we talk in a lot of acronyms and industry vernacular, so I apologize.
Yeah.
So she was a little bored by that, but it was a good time. We went to Katz's Deli together. It was nice.
Oh,
we had a good
fun.
Time.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Is your daughter, you think she's proud of you? You think she knows what you do?
Is she proud of me? I don't know. I put a roof over her head and feed her three times a day, so I hope so. I think
now,
so. I think she was pretty – I think she was somewhat – I don't want to say impressed, but I mean, she was like, wow, these are really cool offices you're going to, and they're really, you know – because we're the client, so to speak. And so, you know, they're doing
stuff for
me.
They're paid to make us look like we know we're talking
about. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like, what questions were they asking your daughter?
Oh, well, they knew. I gave them a heads up. I didn't want them to be surprised by it. So I let them know. I said, hey, by the way, my daughter's tagging along, and she's 21. She's about to be a senior in college, so here's her deal. So they were just asking her about that, her experiences, what she's majoring in, you know, normal stuff that you would ask a college kid. They weren't asking her industry questions. They were just asking her about herself.
Okay. Did they ever ask, what's it like to have you as your dad? I would imagine that's a natural question for some of these folks. Yeah. I don't know why. I think that, wouldn't you? I think that's a question that ever come up.
Everyone I met with was not, they weren't the regular people that I met, if that makes sense.
Okay.
So it was people I knew and knew me, but not to the same extent that they would feel comfortable saying that to my daughter, something a little off color. So no, we didn't get any of that, but it was a good time.
Very good. Yeah.
Well, it was awesome.
Glad
unbelievable,
you're back,
right? Kind of like the comedy lottery we hit there.
You sure did, but
yeah.
You in New York and Omar in another financial center. Omar, how are you doing? And let us know where you are right now.
I am at one of my besties' homes right now with 7 or 8 children downstairs in London, in an area called Kensington, which coincidentally is the name of one of my other godkids. Kensington.
Is Kensington?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a Kensington outside in Philadelphia, and it is not a place you want to visit.
Yeah.
Why?
On the other side of the pond, it's
why?
It's, more...
it is meth head central in Philadelphia. It's a tough spot.
Now, when they named him Kensington, did they...
Her.
Oh, okay. That's a little bit better. I was thinking, did they want this person to be beat up at much in grade school, or I guess as a
girl, you could do Kenzie.
Name.
That's
I think
a cute
that's,
name.
Yeah. I think that's different.
Yeah.
That's no, the Kenzie, boy.
Kenzie is her baby name. Yeah, that's for sure.
See, there you go.
Kenzie's cute. Yeah.
But don't let her ever come to Kensington here in Philly, because that will destroy her name instantaneously.
What takes you to London?
I was in Paris earlier this week. I'm not even sure why I went. Actually, I went to Paris because I'm with Chachi Boy. I'm with Miles.
And Miles, your dog.
Miles cannot fly. My dog, Miles. Miles cannot fly into London. They have very strict laws with,
even
with dogs.
Safety dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Or therapy
service
dogs?
Service dogs.
Yeah. And
wait, you're saying London has rules about dogs flying in?
The tightest of any country.
Really?
Yeah, by far. So in order to fly in with your dog into London, unless if he has a pet passport, which expires every 12 months, you have to fly him in the cargo area.
Oh, that sucks.
And that wasn't going to really work.
No.
So Paris is about to go, and then we took a train, and he got all his certifications, which is the whole thing. Now he's here now with me. I'm in London. And then, of course, we leave for Rome on Tuesday.
Of course.
Yeah. So we have an event on Tuesday, one of our ridiculous events that we have.
So this is all for work?
Yes.
This is not just to show your dog all the sights.
Yes. Yes. One of my topic is actually sort of around that, actually, which is
Did you take the channel?
I did not. I took the Eurostar.
Okay. The channel's cool.
Well, the channel was the Eurotunnel is when you drive on a car onto the train.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. That's But we went on the tip on the normal Eurostar, which like a ticket, but it's quite amazing how quick it is.
It's very cool. Did Miles enjoy that?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he did. He was very good. I mean, it was a huge thing getting on a train. I had to call the air. They don't allow, it's a whole thing, but we're here now.
Good.
And then I love being here. This is like my second home. I'm staying at the Chiltern, my favorite hotel in the world.
Always.
Yeah. And, I also discovered something that I think is kind of amazing, which is, do you guys know how to roller skate?
Technically,
long time ago.
I'm really bad at it, and I don't do the roller blades. I did the old school two wheels.
When you roller skate, can you do the crossover when you're turning?
No, crossover. I used to.
Okay.
I can't skate backwards.
Yeah, those are the two things.
Yeah.
But you don't feel there's not many more cooler feelings in the world than when you're crossing over to like Journey, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, old school, holding the girl's hand.
Yeah,
in sixth grade.
So don't stop believing, or two wheels in the sky,
or open arms if it's
open arms, couples, slow, right?
Separate ways, separate ways.
So we're gonna have a gummy. We're gonna have a roller skating party in New York at some point. This has to happen, right? And so I realized, is there a way to combine those two things together? And I found it this incredible.
What two things?
Roller skating and looking cool.
Okay. Yes, and in 1984. So, yes, definitely.
Now, I want to show you something.
Yeah, well, people can't see this.
Yeah, the audience can't see this, but basically it's a pair of Air Jordans.
Yep. Yeah, with
those wheels on?
That have wheels on them.
Those are cool.
And look, the wheels pop out.
Oh, yeah, look at that. So it's
those Nikes? Those aren't Nikes, though.
Those are Nikes.
They're Chai Nikes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's not the swoosh. That swoosh is a little off.
Yeah, it's a little off. So yeah, this is my new thing, is that I want to bring back roller skating. You know, I think we can do it.
What were those shoes that my kids had them? They were shoes that had
wheelies.
That's right. But these are different. What Omar showed us is different than wheelies, because these are full roller skating.
The wheels pop out. Yeah, they pop out from the shoe. Now they weigh more than wheelies. Wheelies actually went out of business. They were sued so many times.
Yeah, I would imagine they would be sued quite a bit, as will these. This company that makes these. Yeah. Well, if you remember, Adidas had the shoe where the Swiss Army shoe, where a bayonet came out the front, and that had to be stopped as well for obvious reasons.
So that's for assassins, the assassin line?
It was for kids, actually. They made them in only kids sizes.
Oh, it was for young assassins?
Huge marketing mistake
with
that knife in the front.
I used to have a skateboard that was electric.
But old school skateboard, right? Like thin board, right?
No, he had an electric one. I remember that.
Weight operated. No control. So it's all by when you shift your weight back and forth.
Like
it's
a Segway.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called the what was it called? I forgot what it was called, but it was so long ago. Oh, the Z board. Z.
You don't have that anymore?
No, because they stopped working and the company went out of business because people got hurt on them, including me. I tore my rotator cuff because the engine went out and I went flying off.
The engine went out while you were riding it?
Mm-hmm. At like 18 miles per hour.
And it doesn't say, like, it doesn't do anything to, it doesn't slow down. It doesn't give you a warning.
It just stopped. And I tried to run off, you know, but I was wearing flip flops. So eventually I just fell.
That's a design flaw.
And it was a design flaw. But like, I want to bring that back too.
Well, you're going to have to change some things.
Yeah, but like, but the second iterations are often better than the first, which is why, by the way, when I launch a follow on podcast, very excited about the upside for that.
Yeah,
we're already in spinoff stage, huh? That's
already in spinoff stage.
Look at Sting here.
Remember those hoverboards that everyone was going crazy for? My daughter got one once. What happened to those? No one's using those anymore either.
Well, they're super dangerous, right? I mean,
well, they blew. Remember, there's fires all the time with those.
That's when they charge them.
But I don't know anything beyond that. But they were all the rage.
Yeah.
Right.
So roller skating. There is a roller skating rink close to our house that is either abandoned or no one. You know, it's open a few hours and no one uses it. We went one time as a family and we were the only ones there. And we just skated, and it was great. It was just the five of us, and we could fall. We just there. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, were like these seven kids came out of like nowhere, and they skated so well. I was convinced. I'm still convinced to this day that they're vampires. Like there's something about them. They had the real.
They had that
vibe of what's for like Twilight. Like they just had that look about them that they all of a sudden like showed up. They had long hair and long jackets, and they like seemed to have superpowers on roller skates. It was kind of a scary.
Were they taunting
scene.
You guys?
No, they didn't say anything. They didn't talk to each other. They didn't talk to us. They just sort of like swooped in and did their thing, and then they like disappeared. And I was convinced.
Did they disappear before the sun came up?
Well, I felt like because we were such a dark place that that's where they thrived. That's
right. But they'd have to get out of there and back to their coffin before the sun came up.
That's true. I don't know how they. That's true. That could put a hole in my theory. But I think. I think my kids were young too, and I thought it was funny to tell them they were vampires. I think my youngest might have thought they were actually vampires. may have been part. I like the idea of a roller skating, though.
Yeah.
Bringing it back.
An 80s theme.
Last time I went roller skating, though, was a long time ago. But I remember everyone was rollerblades in that whole place.
In a rink.
in the rink, and my wife and I are like, oh, God, I don't know how to do rollerblades. And I had to get the old school ones, which they still had. They dusted them off and gave them to us.
But is there a performance difference, I wonder?
Of course. I guarantee the rollerblades are way better.
Way faster.
You think so?
Yeah. Of course.
Is that true? Harder. Are we sure about that?
Come on. First of all, it has to be. Because you know how roller skates are. It's not easy to turn, and it's a little rigid. Because of the four wheels. And the wheels don't, you know, with the rollerblades, I would imagine with the straight line, it's much easier to make turns and cuts and
yeah, well, think of a backwards. Bike versus a bike with training wheels or a four-wheeler, right?
Rollerblades go faster, better for longer distances. Roller skates are better, offer a smoother and more stable ride.
More stable. Yeah, I believe that.
Make it easier to execute maneuvers such as crossovers and turns.
Crossovers easier.
So
yeah.
I want to look, you can't really cross over on rollerblades.
I don't know. I
want to be able to cross over. It's just like, and the wind, the air, it's blowing through your hair.
Here's what I think, Omar, if I may. I think in your mind, you're thinking it's much cooler than what it's actually going to be when you start skating again.
Really?
Yeah. I think this is going to be one of those in your head. The nostalgia is awesome, and the memories are great. And then when you finally get out there, it's going to be a complete train wreck, is my prediction.
You may want to skate 5 times before you open up a skate rink.
I would go once.
I think one
before you start.
I'm buying a place is probably not a good strategy.
Oh, interesting. It says inlines offer greater stability as the wheelbase is longer. Ooh, interesting.
All right. Which goes flies in the face of what you just said about the
– I know. So I don't know. Yeah. And I know one thing. I'm not wearing a freaking helmet. That's for goddamn sure.
There you go.
Yeah, with that hair, why, that's a crime.
You can't. I mean, I don't understand people wear helmets on bicycles, honestly. It just makes me nuts.
Well, there is that thing of crashing and hitting your head against cement.
No, there's but this is the over-pampering of our youth today. They never hear no, and they're overly protected. Right?
That's true.
On a bicycle, you don't need a helmet.
It depends. If you're doing stunts on a bicycle, you do.
Okay, fine. If you're doing stunts, fine.
If you're in a bicycle race, you do.
But that's not what Omar's talking about.
No. Like, I know. Yeah.
You know, you go to a bike store and you buy a regular bike.
Hold on a second. If we're on vacation somewhere, like, I don't know where you people go on vacation. Martha's Vineyard. I don't know what white people do on vacation. Let's see what's that. Okay.
That's a white people place.
Yeah.
You named it.
So if we have bikes, do you wear a helmet? If you're riding
around? No. I would never wear it. No.
No.
Okay.
No.
How about in New York City?
Yes.
On a city bike.
No, I'm not wearing it. I'm not getting on a bike in New York City. I don't understand how anyone's doing that.
But if I had to go across town, would I wear a helmet? I probably wouldn't.
When was the last time that you guys got into an accident on a bicycle or a skateboard or something?
I don't ride anything. I haven't ridden a bike in – I can't remember the last time I rode a bike.
Because I will say I had an interesting conversation around skiing yesterday. Where two of my friends say they're off of it completely now because people are getting hurt and injured.
But they wear helmets and skiing. They wear helmets and skiing.
I know, but that doesn't protect you from dying. By the way, skiing, I wear a helmet if I don't ski anymore. But why ski? Who wants to ski?
We talked about this in another episode about how I despise skiing. I despise it. I can't stand the sport. There's nothing in my mind. I don't want to rehash what we said, but. You know, it's first of all, it's expensive, it's freezing, it's isolating. It's not like it's social at all, other than when you're not skiing. That's when it's social. But skiing itself is not social, and it's just a big pain in the ass, and you can get seriously, seriously injured. But I remember when I went skiing as a kid, no one wore helmets.
Yep,
that wasn't even a thing.
And everyone's okay. Everyone's still alive.
Well, no. The people who are alive are still alive, but the people who died skiing back then.
I don't think it makes a discernible difference. This is also, it's the pampering of the U.S. of children. It's too much.
Some of it is, and some of it's like, look, we moved the goal. It took a while to move the goalposts in football until we realized that was pretty stupid. So there are some things that you do that you realize, oh boy, this is more protective. This makes more sense for the activity that's been going on. And then there's other things where it goes too far. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, because skiing is fair for a helmet because you have head injuries and you have spine injuries. The helmet's not going to help with the spine injury, but there's
the
probably
head.
A few head ones that you – I think skiing is probably
skiing,
fair.
You need a helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So another thing, Josh, you mentioned a second ago, so how we are rehashing an episode. I had someone point out something to me at dinner two nights ago that, remember, the viewers may not know this, but when we had an episode around me drinking the wine at my friend's home. By the way, I'm in that home right now in London.
Oh, that same home where you stole the wine.
Where the scene happened.
That's funny. Yeah.
And they reminded me of another story, which I can't talk about on this show.
why would you bring that up?
The name of that is called Condom Gate.
Okay, we'll table that one. Why don't you put a pin in that one?
Let's find out what that's going.
Let's find out how Dave's doing now, because that was a bad segue.
How do I follow Condomgate?
Yeah, how do you follow that, Dave? Well, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm still on baby grandson baby watch.
Yeah,
my daughter's due date was yesterday, so by the time I talk to you next, I will be a grandfather. So I am very excited about that. We are just anxiously awaiting. We had heard there's an Italian meal here in St. Louis called the eviction notice that apparently quite a few people will order this, and it's supposed to spur, you know, contractions. And
what?
Yeah, that's there. It's a thing. So
what is the meal? Do you know what it is?
Well, it's a very spicy Italian pasta dish, I guess. So,
and it's supposed to get the baby out of there.
Yeah. It's that people go like it's a. And I guess the website said an average of 40 women a week get the eviction notice to push that baby out. So,
oh my God! Is your daughter thinking about it?
What
is your daughter thinking about going there?
Well, we were going to send it because we're pretty upset that she's not having this baby yet. Like we want to move on with our lives. And so what I did is I did send her some Italian food, and
but not that dish.
I tried to replicate it, and no dice.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. So, all right.
But the other thing, just real quick, as how am I doing? An amazing thing happened. I never would have thought it would have happened.
No.
And Omar knows what this is, but Josh, I think the amazement of it, maybe you'll agree with me, but
okay.
Way, way back, Omar had this speaker on a pole. It was like, it looks like.
Oh, yes. Right. Right.
It looks
right.
Like a lamp. It's a big pole, as heavy as can be, and it's got.
We talked about this when Omar was having his monitor problems.
Correct.
Yes. Go ahead.
I bought one because he said he was told it was the best speaker in existence. Right. So I went and got one, and it worked. It was fine, except you know, moving around. Good luck. It must be like 150 pounds. This thing, even though it's not that, it's just a pole and a head on the top. But then after a season, it broke. And so I couldn't get it to work. I couldn't even tell it was turning on. And that's when Omar brought it up that his was broke and his buddy's was broke, right? All this. So get this. I told Omar, you know, I gave my serial number. He was going to help complain for me. But he shoots me back an email that has a YouTube video of how to reset it. And wouldn't you know, it worked.
It
actually worked. I cannot believe that happened. Omar, you made it. You made it work. You made it happen.
This is fixing things 101. The very first thing you should try with anything is to reboot it in some manner.
I was talking to my father. The first thing you do is you curse. Okay, six or seven times.
Right. You hit
it. Yes.
You bang it.
And then, if you bang it.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you unplug it.
There you go. That's what I just said. So you do two things before.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes.
Well, here's the thing. Learning how to reset it, it wasn't like there was a button that said reset that I could push until it reset. There's no buttons. Everything's inside this little dome thing. And so apparently there is a little like a valve or something around the base of it that if you turn it left, then right, and hold it down, like you would never do this
that's
on
insane.
Your own.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
But it actually worked. So
there you go.
It really worked, David?
It does work. I would have bet $1 million this thing was just garbage and broken, but it's back, baby. I've got it sitting right there, and I moved it inside, and it's not going to be moved anywhere else because it's so heavy.
Did you do that with yours, Omar? Did you do the resetting thing that Dave did? I wonder if it works on yours.
I haven't been home.
Okay, you should do it.
Yeah.
Let's see if that works.
And actually, I will do that.
There you go.
And both, it must be without use, or I don't know, maybe there's a software update that you need, but it worked. My speakers are back, so I feel
it's like
having,
it's like a new, it's like a gift to yourself. You thought it was dead, and
I was gonna throw it away. Yeah, it's like I bought a brand new speaker. I'm awesome. I'm so excited. Yeah,
it's little things.
Things
in life.
Rarely happen that way.
That's true.
All right, should we kick off this episode?
Yeah, let's do it. Tell them how to find us.
All right, we apologize for Omar's mic, but Josh will do magic with it. But
I'll try.
Anyway, so we're here. We're for a reason. We like to come together every once in a while. We each come up with a topic, something that's gone on in our lives or something we find interesting or a show that we've watched or someone that we're dating. If you're Omar, we come together. We talk about issues that we have not discussed ahead of time. So we're coming at this completely new, and we'll kind of sort them out as we usually do. And through it all, it brings joy to the world is really
to the world.
Really,
that's the point
of the podcast. Right. Everyone's a little happier. Sometimes Omar's a little bit more upset. Like, it doesn't always happen for him. But, like, right now, if you're watching on YouTube, I don't think Omar's cracked a smile. There we go.
There you go. You got him. You got him.
He's there.
You got him.
All right. So before we start and kick things off, I'm going to give you some information on how to reach out to us, even though you know you're not going to. I dare you to reach out to us. I dare you. I dare you to use our email address, which is friends@fts.media. Or, of course, DaveJoshOmar@gmail.com. I'll never stop letting you know about that one. But we prefer friends@fts.media. We have a website, friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And if you really want to get the most bang for your buck, I tell you, Josh is a master at Instagram.
Thank you.
And TikTok and YouTube. So go to any of those places. Look up at Friends Talking Shop. If you feel lonely and no one's reaching out to you, friends, follow us, and Josh will just say hello to you every single day in some
way
or another. Every
day.
Right?
Every day something new. We promise you that.
Yeah. So, Omar, are you up to date on our Instagram posts?
I think so, yeah. I don't have a choice.
Yeah. I particularly did enjoy the meme with the screen and the bar crowd going crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a – is that – did. Is that like a thing? Like you can put whatever you
that
you
one's
have
a
to
thing.
Make that,
that
or
one
is
I,
that
no that one I found, but there's a couple upsetting. Coming up that I made myself.
Okay. Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
I've exhausted those and now I'm making them myself.
So speaking of exhausted, Josh, so
yeah.
these different approaches, these marketing approaches that you're using to build our brand, do you think that they're effective, or are you getting better at figuring out which ones have the most uptick in terms of interest
generated? I think that for having spent very few advertising dollars, that means almost none. I think we're making some headways. We're slowly getting subscribers and everything. Every day I see new subscribers, so it's good stuff. And we're trying to make it so we skinny down a version. If you don't have an hour plus to listen to a full episode, check us out on either YouTube or Instagram or TikTok and get something really cool in 2 minutes. That's funny. We
two
think it's pretty funny that we think you'll enjoy. So, and then there's some in between the clips. There's a lot of like meme stuff for our show that's related to our show. It's related to us that I think is pretty entertaining as well. So definitely want to check that out if you can.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Well, you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
You're not tracking the likes. You're not saying, oh, that one's more liked than another. You're not.
Yeah, I track that as well.
You're doing some market research on this.
Yeah, okay. We're doing a little bit of that. For the stats that they give you, yeah, we're trying to figure out what people want, what they don't want.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid you can answer that question. All right.
We had group on Omar, and I won't give you the results of that.
Yeah. All right, so let's kick off the show. I am going to go first this week.
All right.
I have a topic that I'm excited to talk to you about, guys, and I've already leaked it out because I already shared this with you. Now, to give you a little bit of background, Omar, Josh, and I are in an industry that is similar. It's an industry where there are salespeople and buyers of things. It's services, and sometimes we're sellers, sometimes we're buyers. Mostly, most of the time, I guess we're a little bit of everything. But we have people reach out to us, and sometimes when yeah. a salesperson reaches out to me or to Josh or Omar, and that's done in a funny way, we will share it with each other as a...
unintentionally funny.
Yeah, that's right. Like, you know, if a guy sends me an email and his name is Bend Over, like, you know, that's funny. I'll send that to Josh and Omar because I'm like, look at this guy's name. And we laugh at that. Well, I got an email this week Again, to back up, so this last week there was a conference in our industry, and I usually attend. Josh, you've attended these before.
I've attended in the past, yep.
And you go and you listen to a lot of sessions, and there's a number of salespeople there who, you know, want to talk to you, and a lot of friends and things that are at this kind of thing. Well, this year I couldn't go because I was eagerly anticipating the birth of my grandson, so I didn't want to be in Boston when that happened, so I stayed home. So that's the context of a email that I got whose name I won't.
No,
I
don't
won't
use
say.
The name.
I won't say. Even though I think we've outed people before, but in this case we won't do that.
Not this time. No.
If you know who you are, if you're listening, just enjoy the fact that you're being you're contributing to people's joy. So I got this email. Says, "Hey Dave, thank you for taking time to catch up with me at the conference this week." Well, let me pause there, right? just a second is. If you didn't remember what I said first, is I didn't go to the conference.
Yeah.
Right? So can you see what's going on here? thank you for taking the time to catch up with me at the conference. I hope you enjoyed it, got home safe. I wanted to follow up, confirm. He's coming to St. Louis and love to get together. Flexible, happy to meet you at your place. grab lunch, whatever. Have a good evening, so-and-so. So
yeah.
That's the first time I've gotten an email thanking for getting up when that
didn't
I
happen.
Wasn't there. Wasn't
yeah.
There. So I've got a few options here, and the podcast is certainly
you do
a consideration because you know we're all about creating content here. Right. Is what do I do? So first, I'll just leave it there. I'm gonna ask you guys, what do you think I should do with this email?
Well, listen, selfishly, I would like you to not play along. So, I mean, if you play along and you say like, oh yeah, great seeing you, and he's none the wiser and he thinks he actually did see you and did talk to you and then whatever, then it goes nowhere. But if you call him out, I think it would be really interesting to see what type of reply you get.
But
in other words, not in a mean way. I think you can do it in a nice, subtle way. You could literally say, ha ha, I don't know if you're joking around or not, but I wasn't there. So maybe you talk to another, you know, handsome Dave or something. You know what I'm saying?
Or,
it's a very soft way to say, you jackass, I wasn't even there. You know, Omar's shaking his head. You don't like this idea, Omar?
David doesn't even know this guy.
I know. Well, that's how it – so look, for our audience's sake, that's how it works in our industry, okay? Right. So you get these people who are on the sales end that want to – that basically want – our money invested in their product.
Right.
And they are automatically your best friend immediately because they kind of have to be. And, you know, this is they want to endear themselves to you and they want
for
you
the record,
to think like,
I don't like either one of you guys.
Right. Yeah.
For the record.
You took a different approach and it worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disdain somehow, our need to be liked, it was won over. Yeah.
Omar's taken it so far, he's done a podcast with us just to continue the relationship, the industry relationship.
Yeah.
So I think what these people need is to be called out on their bullshit from time to time.
You because think so?
I think it's one of those deals where I think he's not even remembering who he met with or who he talked to, and it doesn't even matter. He basically took the entire list of investors like you
and just
sent them all this, hey, great to catch up,
bingo.
Great to see you.
And a few of those investors who are
correct,
for whatever reason, have nothing else to do, responded to him. He goes, oh, aha. By the way, I actually am going to be in St. Louis.
Yep.
Let me take you out to quote-unquote coffee.
And by the way,
time to deal that nonsense.
And let me also clue everyone in. He has no plans to come to St. Louis.
Yes.
He will only make plans if Dave says, oh, yeah, I'm around.
No, apparently there is some vacation plans in Missouri. So it looks like there's going to be a visit.
One of the funniest ones that I got along these same lines is I got someone who – and by the way, I do this quite a bit. I'm going to give away a little bit of my magic, and I don't want to do that, but I'm going to anyway for the sake of the podcast. Go ahead, Omar. What are you saying?
Your magic is your magic is what do you call it?
Go ahead, tell me. Oh, come
just
on,
for men. That's your magic, Josh. That's why you.
I wish that was my magic, but I'm quite gray, as everyone can see. My beard just will not stop getting grayer. But Here's my magic, and it's so simple. Keep it simple. Someone says, and this is real. This has actually happened on multiple occasions, but this one in particular was hilarious. They sent me an email and said, hey, I'm going to be in Philadelphia these dates. Are you around? Now, I am, but I don't want to meet with them. So right. I immediately write back, nope, not in town. I write it nicer than that, but that's
every single day. Yeah.
That's my magic. Nope, not in town. And what do they write back? My mistake. I got my dates wrong. It's the week after. See what?
Oh my God!
It's all a ploy. It's all a ploy. Yep. So you know what I wrote back? Gone that week too.
Yeah.
Because yeah. They're not going to come back with a third week. They're not going to come back with a double mistake.
Yeah.
So you play the game. You feed in, and I think you need to do that too. Because I'm dying to see what he responds if you tell him I wasn't even there. You dumbass. What are you talking about?
Well, here's how about this? What if I make plans to go to lunch with him? Mm-hmm. Don't show up, and then after we go, hey, how was our lunch?
And thank him for the lunch.
Yeah, it was great lunch. Since my not being there is part of the charm. Apparently.
That's quite a far ways to take it.
I did write a response. I wanted to bounce this one off. Do you see my response?
No.
All right,
no,
So I was going to write back, hey, so and so. I won't say that.
Yeah.
What a night. I mean, it started out a bit concerning, but you did a great job not letting things get out of hand. I'm so excited you're coming to St. Louis. We can discuss investments, of course, but I think you should see the charity and the people you agreed to support. I mean, I've seen such a generous offer after a 15-minute conversation in my life. You might want to ask questions about the mission trip if you really want to move forward with that. Anyway, looking forward to another crazy time together, Dave. P.S., I think Sally is okay with everything. I would just let it go and forget about it.
Do not send this.
Just let it sink in and see if – no?
Listen, yes. Selfishly, yes. Send it. But for the sake of your own career, do not send it.
All right. So you think I should say, hey, so-and-so, it's thanks for your email. A gentle reminder, we didn't see each other.
Yeah, make
in
a
Boston,
joke out of it.
And I probably won't see you in St. Louis either. I don't know what I'm going to say.
You got to call him out, but you can't do it directly. It's just society
too much.
Doesn't allow that. Yeah.
I don't want to be
you don't want to be an asshole. Yeah, so just do it like, you must have been talking to another handsome Dave. Or you must
have
been.
Why does he have to even respond? I mean, I don't. Look,
he doesn't. He can hit delete.
Should I delete it?
I do that all the time.
To respond to this is if it's content for this pod. for the show.
That's what I'm saying. That's how I led this off, Omar. I said for content of this pod, I would like you to call him out on his bullshit.
I think that what I would like to do is there a way that I could email him from your email address?
Oh no, don't allow that, Dave. No, that's a trap. Don't do it.
Yes, I would like you to be able to send any email you want with my email address. That would be fantastic. You could send me a response and I could send it if I approve it. How's that sound?
Okay.
Would you be all right with that?
All right. That's not bad. It's a good compromise.
I have a feeling you're going to be a little bit more direct.
I'm going to be in the interest of content for the show.
Yeah. What's your plan?
I will come up with something.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
And I will do that in the next 300 to 400 hours.
Okay. I'll be waiting. I don't know. I'm more anticipating my grandson or your email, your response.
But so when am I? Yeah, good.
I could say, I mean, two other people came from my office. I could say, hey, did you mean one of my other people? I wasn't there.
Yeah. Did you ask them if they got the same email?
I didn't.
Oh, yes. I bet you they did.
All right. I'll
bet you they did.
Research on this. Yeah.
Yeah. Do some research on that. I bet you
they
did.
What does it matter?
Yes, because I'm going to guarantee everyone on that entire list got an email from him, whether they showed up or not.
Well, unless he's planning on going on vacation, everyone.
How
on
did
the
he
list,
get your email address?
I don't know. Probably
that's easy.
It's
on our website.
Easy to guess, and if you have our name, you can pretty much guess our email addresses.
Yeah, that's easy.
The conference may hand that stuff out, right?
Now, I'll tell you my favorite story related to this. My job before this one, I got a call on my very
back
first
when you were happy. Yes, go on.
Yes, when I was when I was much happier.
Good old days.
My very first day, I get a call, and I'm not going to say the guy's name or where he was, but he called from this one shop, and he said, hey, blah, blah, blah. And I picked it up. I picked up the phone, which at the time I was doing. I never do that anymore. I don't pick up the phone. Always the voicemail. And I just said, I told him politely, you know, listen, I'm not interested in that. But, you know, send me materials. I'll take a look. But it's really not something that I do, right?
Yep.
And he did that. And then he called back the following week. But I let it go because I didn't want to talk to him. I saw the number come in. I'm like, nope, let it go. Left me a voicemail. Hey, Josh, this is so-and-so. Just wanted to follow up on the materials I sent. You know, wanted to see if you had time to get blah, 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 blah. Right? I don't even answer back. Okay? The next week, he does it again. And I'm not lying when I tell you this. For a full year, 12 months, 365 days, this dude called me and left me a voicemail every week.
Without I was going to say every day. But...
No. Every week without me ever returning his call.
Yeah.
Without me ever emailing him, telling him, listen, it's not going to happen. But he did it with the same fervor. Every single voicemail message. And at first, I was like, I can't believe this guy. He doesn't take a hint. I'm not calling him back. Why does he keep calling me? I was getting like agitated. And then there was an inflection point. I don't remember when it was because it was so long ago. But there was an inflection point where I looked forward to his voicemail, where I'm like, oh, my God, he did it again. This is and with the same fervor.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It wasn't like he gradually was getting depressed, like, hey, are you ever going to call me back, please?
Would he change it up a little?
No.
He like, it was Merry Christmas.
It was essentially the same thing every time with the same energy. This like he was reading for a role in a play or a movie. And what was crazy was one day it stopped and I got real upset and I'm like, oh my God, he hasn't left me a voicemail message in like 3 weeks. What's going on? And then I started thinking, like, is he dead?
Yeah.
Is he,
did you check the pictures?
I want to know. I'm dying to know to this day. I still don't know what happened. Did he get another job? Did he finally say he's never going to call me back? I'm going to stop doing this. Did he die? Did he go in a coma? I don't know. I still don't know what happened to this guy. But that was an unbelievable series. I've never met anyone so persistent as this individual.
Well, you know what ruined, what caused that was the movie Wall Street. Do you remember Charlie Sheen's character was calling Gordon Gekko every single day, and then he finally got the break? That's that's ruined it for everybody who gets calls on that stuff.
The persistence on this dude was just awesome.
Yeah,
it's one of the weird parts. When I hear these kinds of things, it sort of triggers me because the walking zombies that exist in this industry, you know.
But you seem to like to hear the war stories of it all. Don't you?
I guess I do. I just get when I hear that you guys put energy back into it. That's what troubles me sometimes.
Well, there's no energy. What are you talking about?
Responding to them. You know, like I'm sure, like what our listeners are, I guess, are beginning to understand a little bit is that both these two idiots on the show with me get a deluge. You know what that word means?
Yes,
deluge.
Yes, we are deluge. By the way,
deluge.
Yeah. Am I supposed to be deluge. Spelling again?
It's not deluge. Yeah. Deluge. The law firm of deluge, delusion, name.
The Louvre.
You got a deluge.
Deluge.
The L is silent.
Of emails every day.
Yes.
Constant solicitation.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes.
And so for you and I and you again, you guys have peers of yours, I'm sure, who don't respond to anything.
That's me. I don't respond to anything. I respond to
and when you
nothing.
Do, Josh, I've seen your responses. You're like, hey, thanks, yes. Not interested. But and Josh, like you are like
yes, I'm now gotten to that point. Yes.
I will not respond, but when I do, I'm like hey, thanks for reaching out. And then I end up have a great week. I do the
whole
thing.
By the way, what are your plans this weekend? Like Dave like digs in.
Dave's an enabler. You know what he is? He's the person getting the Big Macs for the 600-pound life person. He's going, this is the last time I'm only going to get you these Big Macs.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
And I'm going.
Not to be mean. Not to be mean. It's the people pleaser in me.
I used to do that too, though. I would return every phone call I got.
Yeah,
I would return this was 20 years ago.
Okay.
I would return every email I got, and it was and I would always entertain everything. And if they were in town and I was available, like I would take the meeting.
Town, right?
Always. Yeah. And now, 1% of it. 1%.
Yeah.
Because because the more I get, by the way, I know it sounds rude what Dave's saying that I do. It's not rude, by the way. I'm not saying, hey, piss off, you know, go pound sand. I'm just making it short and curt. Mm-hmm. But I am saying, thanks for reaching, but listen, just not interested. You know, have a nice day. Love, Josh.
I don't think you get a full line in your response.
No, mine are fragments. And the last fragment is, hope things are well. That's it. See ya.
Bad idea. Answers,
but
no.
The reason I do that, by the way, because I know enough of these people, and you do too, Dave, that's kind of what they want, because that means like, oh, okay, now I don't have to keep calling every week. Like the fact that I told that guy to send me materials the first time I ever answered his phone, it gave, you know that Dumb and Dumber, you know, so it's a 0.0001% chance. Yeah. Okay. So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. That's kind of all they want. They want a little tiny crack of the window open. If they see it, they're going to keep going.
Yeah.
So I close that window all the friggin' way.
Hmm. Yeah. I even just thinking of it now, I have a hard time doing it. Like I don't want to hurt their feelings.
It's not easy.
Like, yeah, it's so. Hmm.
I hear you. But yes, it would be great if you wrote back in some capacity so we could to call him out in some way, because I'd love to see how he responds.
Well, I'll wait and see what Omar gives me, because my instinct now is to say, hey, thanks for reaching out. I think you might have been talking about one of my other teammates that was there because I unfortunately didn't make it. I'm not free, so good luck in your vacation in St. Louis. All the best. That's it. That's all I put down. I put all that went down. That takes time. But
vacation. No one goes to vacation in St. Louis.
No.
Apparently, he's going to the Ozarks.
Ah, okay. That's different. That's different.
Maybe if he brings meth with him.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, and then he's going to ask you about the Ozarks. If you watch the show, like, it's going to be another layer of like feigned interest in your life. And what don't you want in your life?
Yeah.
You don't want feigned interest.
Yeah. You just want interest.
There you go.
Well, we'll take feigned interest in the podcast, though. But in the other areas of my life.
Well, you want to know what? Send him the fucking link to our podcast. And say
that's
to him,
a great idea.
Say to him, if you get 10 listeners, I will meet you for lunch.
There you go. Done.
Well, is this the episode? Because now he's going to be embarrassed. We've already made an enemy
that's true.
I can already tell this guy has no shame. Okay.
He'll do it.
That's probably one of his few skills that he has. Is shame.
All right. So if I send a response saying, hey, maybe it's somebody else, you think they'll be like, oh my gosh, it'll favor, like, I'm sorry? Do you think it'll just blow right through?
No. Like he's going to have to address it.
I have an idea. So years ago, when I was on a dating app, there was this beautiful girl, and her thing was, if you can tell me what John George, do you know who that is? George?
He's a chef.
Famous world chef, Michelin star, blah, 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 blah. If whoever can tell me his middle name, I will go on a date with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And then I did.
Mm.
Right? And I went on a date with her, blah, 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 blah. Now, for Dave, I would say to this guy, I would tie FTS into him and say, there's an episode where we talked about this.
Oh, find it.
And if you can find it, I will meet you for coffee.
No, I love it.
That's actually, there is a podcast.
Great idea.
Email has prompted, I won't mention the email or the podcast. I'll just say, and it's in my podcast. If you can say the word, we should come up with a safe word. Like if you say this word of cucumber back to me, because you only hear it in the podcast, I'll go to coffee.
All right. There you go. All right. Done. All right, we rectified it.
Why are you, have you noticed something, Josh? Because God knows you do the same fucking thing too. Whenever I have a good idea, you can never say it's a good idea. He stopped.
No,
I did not. No, I say you're
number
good
one,
all the time.
We're going way long on this issue. Number one, we're going way long. We're giving no time to my amazing topic and your subpar topic. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I complimented you several times on some of your inventions.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's stop right there.
I have another one.
Good.
All right. Well, let's get to Josh, go ahead. Let's go to your topic. I'm sorry I stepped all over your topic.
No, you didn't step over it, Dave. This fucking guy did with his email.
Yes, I agree. He did it. Let's blame him.
All right.
So let me give you a little mystery for you guys to solve, okay? So I had a topic, by the way, and it's now changed to this one because of what just happened. So the other day, What?
The French Open. That's what's happening right now.
French Open?
The tennis match. Roland Garros.
French Open. Yes.
French Open. I thought you said Fred Chopin.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, who's Fred Chopin? Anyway, my wife's out walking a dog a couple days ago, and she screams and goes, "Josh, get out here. We have a problem." And I'm like, oh, shit. Whenever I hear that, I'm like,
not
oh,
again.
My God.
Yeah.
So I go outside. And she goes,
Wait. Is that how she starts? That she says that to you?
Does she speak that way to you?
What do you know from fucking NASA? What the fuck is this? Houston, we have a problem. Who talks like this?
We have a problem. She says that.
Is she controlling the fucking command center? Like, what is going on? Are you in outer space? Like, what kind of terminology is this?
She identified a problem and wanted me to confirm it.
All right.
Okay.
So I go outside. She puts the dog inside. We go out. She goes, smell. Come over here. And she takes me to the front of the house. And she goes, you smell that? I'm like, oh, yeah. It stinks. Something smells bad. She goes, I think – and we have a septic tank. She's like, I think we have sewage. I'm like, I don't think so. That doesn't make sense. You know, we just had it pumped not too long ago. And she goes, well, come over here. And she brings me closer to another area. And she goes, I go, oh, my God. It smells bad. It smells really bad. I'm like, what the hell could this possibly be? So I'm searching everywhere. Certain places it's awful. Certain places it kind of is nothing. And then other places it's like I can still smell it even further away from where it was awful. I'm like, what is going on here? So that's the mystery that we have, right? Or had.
Dead body.
What do you think it is?
Dead deer.
Dead deer is Omar's guess?
I was going to go dead animal. Yeah, I was going to.
Yeah.
So you know the answer? This is a mystery solved?
I know the answer.
Oh, well, I know what happened. I know what it is.
Because we discovered yesterday.
I know what it is. Greg Abbott.
What?
Greg Abbott.
Greg Abbott?
Yes. Who is the senator of Texas.
Yes.
Who's been sending illegal immigrants by the busload into other areas. And he dumped a busload of them on your block.
So you think there's illegal immigrants that are in my yard that are causing this?
They're living there. Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a bad guess, but it's not the case.
It's not the.
It's not good. That.
So it's probably offensive in some ways. I'm not quite sure if.
No. It's not meant to be offensive. If you have like 10 to 20 people living on Josh's property, where are they going to go to the bathroom?
Well, let's blame Josh more for having a smelly property than. Assuming the immigrants are
small. All I know is I started to think, like, this can't be sewage. This just can't be. I don't understand.
You know, it's interesting. I bought some daily vitamins that were grape gummies.
Uh-huh.
Now, they're vitamins, like multi-whatever vitamins. Yep. And I had them in the bathroom, and they had this really bad smell. My wife cleaned the whole bathroom because she thought something was wrong and scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed. It turned out it was just my vitamins. Yeah, it was. So I got in trouble for that.
Now, your
vitamins, reminded me of that.
They don't have a cap?
They do, but somehow, like the
it leaks through the cap?
Orange gummy. Yeah, it made it in the bathroom. Crazy. It had a weird. Anyway, back to. Can we keep guessing?
Yeah, you can keep guessing.
Is it pipe? Can I add clues? Is it pipe related?
It is not pipe related.
Okay.
Well, you kind of already got it.
Is it a dead animal?
So last week, 1 week ago. Now, for the listeners, if they don't remember. There was an episode where I spoke about I have on my property a groundhog problem. Okay?
Yeah.
I had a ton of groundhogs. They were digging up my yard. And what I was reading online is like these things could like, you know, destabilize your house potentially because the holes that they dig in the yard. And my neighbor at the time, he's not my neighbor now, but my neighbor at the time, same problem. And he's like, look, I've tried everything. I've called animal services. They won't do anything. I've gotten, you know, traps. I've done this. He said the only thing that worked for him is he got a gun. And shot them when he saw them. And so I did that. Now, I'm not a gun guy, so I didn't get a gun. I got a pellet gun, like on Amazon. Because I didn't want – I don't know. I'm just not a gun guy. And I don't want to be blasting, you know, bullets into my yard and have neighbors going, what the hell is that crazy guy doing over there?
Hit a kid or something.
Right. So I got the pellet gun, and through the years, I've been picking off these groundhogs. and I've gotten seven or eight of them. And I haven't seen any in 2 years. And I thought, okay, I got them all. I'm done. And I don't see any big holes in my yards either. Well, the other day, a week ago, I'm having breakfast, and I see a big bastard groundhog just go right across my yard. And this thing is big. And I go, I immediately drop my spoon. I go into my closet. I get my pellet gun. And I go out, and I see this thing. I track in it. And I watch it. And it goes right up. I have these rocks, this wall of rocks. And it goes on the top of the wall, and I'm like, I have a clean shot. And I popped it right in the neck, right? Mm. His head jolts, and then he goes into the rocks immediately. So I'm like, okay, I know I got it, but he's gone. So I went down, and there's blood on the rocks, but no, the groundhog nowhere to be found. Until I remembered I did that, and I went, oh, shit. I remembered where he went in the rocks. And I went over to that spot. Oh, my God. That was it.
Rotting carcass.
The carcass. It went back in there and died.
Oh, boy.
And the carcass smelled so – I was, like, almost vomiting. That's how bad it was when I was right there. But I couldn't get the thing out. I could see its claws were in, like, rigor mortis. But I couldn't – you can't reach in. It's, like, too – it's too narrow a thing.
No,
you can't
don't
get your
do
hand
that.
In there.
Yeah.
But it smelled so bad. So I'm like, what the hell am I supposed to do?
Haven't you learned anything from Breaking Bad?
Tell me.
You get lye or whatever it is. What is it? You bury a body. You like put lye on it so the dogs can't sniff it.
And How would you do that though? Would I just put it down the hole there and in between? Just put the lye. Because here's what we did.
All right.
So we're thinking like, what do we do? Because this groundhog. It's a big groundhog, but it's not the size of a deer. It's a groundhog. It's like an oversized groundhog.
Bigger than your head.
Oh yes, yeah, no, bigger than my head.
Wow. Are you sure it's groundhog?
Oh, it's definitely a groundhog, 100%. I've killed a bunch of these things. But what's amazing is this thing, as small as a groundhog is, even though it's a big groundhog, it's permeating the whole entire house. We can smell this carcass for like 50 yards away from the hole where he's dead and found. So what we did was we got bleach, and we read this online. We dumped a bunch of rags in bleach, and then we stuffed them in the hole. And then squirt bleach in the hole. We still smell it today, but it's far muted. It's way muted.
Can't you hire a service for this?
What am I going to do? Tell him I shot a groundhog in the jugular, and can you please take him out of these rocks?
Yeah.
What service is that?
Don't you have a guy to do this stuff for you?
I don't have a carcass guy. Do you have a carcass guy that works in my area?
Actually, yeah, a landscaping person. Do you have a landscaper?
We do. I can't imagine. I'm going to tell my landscaper, can you get this dead groundhog carcass out of my rock?
Cash money, baby. Cash money, homie.
I agree.
You give the guy a couple $100, he will eat that fucking groundhog for you. You know what I mean?
You don't have a carcass guy, but your landscaper has a carcass guy.
Yes.
Does he?
Yes.
Does my landscaper have a carcass guy?
You know who you should talk to about this?
Tell me.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm kidding.
Maybe, oh my God. But this thing's, I can't even describe you the smell. You know, like it was almost like someone worked, like I worked in a morgue and there was a rotting like cadaver. Because I got close to there, I was dry heaving. My wife's like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I found it. I'm dry. I was about to vomit several times. That's how bad the smell was.
I would have loved to see the transcript of this conversation between you and your wife. I bet you this is.
I want to know why. I have a question. Why couldn't your wife go find this smell herself? Why'd she have to have you do it?
Well, she needed help. But we both were searching. We couldn't figure out what it was.
Oh, she was searching alongside you.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
She kept thinking it's the septic because we have a septic tank on our property. I'm like, there's no way it would come up through. We would notice a leak. We would see something. There'd be some indication that it's septic and there's everything's fine. And I'm like, it can't be. I just don't. It smelled that bad, by the way. It smelled
like Craigslist. Put an offer out. You're getting a couple of bids.
I'm not having a psychopath from Craigslist come over to my house and get a carcass out of my rocks.
That's true. Craigslist is a bad idea. But I think if like we've had a dead deer that just, I don't know, had a heart
You're
attack right
Josh,
by our house.
That.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
I just thought there was an episode from Dexter. A season. Remember Dexter? The psychopath?
Dave loves Dexter. I didn't really watch it.
David, you remember this series where one of the serial murderers, his daytime job was.
Was it animal removal.
Yeah. Groundhog carcasses?
No, all animals. And he's actually also a murderer.
Okay, I don't see. I don't want that. That's the part
I don't.
I
don't want that.
I would leave it there.
Call the non-serial killer.
What I'm hoping is,
service.
And here's this is what I said to my wife. I'm like, look, as long as we can kind of live with the muted smell now from the bleach, something's going to eat this thing.
Yeah, I was going to say bring it. Maybe go to the pet store and get a bunch of mice and rats.
I don't want to release mice and rats on my property.
That is loose 10 mice.
I was thinking larvae
larvae.
Little bugs. Bugs of some sort that are – here's the problem. It's not going to degrade into the ground because it's in my rocks. It's not like it's in where it's near soil and earth. It's in my rocks. It's in a cave in my rocks. So I need something to get in there
get
and start
eating
this
to do
thing.
It. It's not hard.
Absolutely. There are people that do this sort of thing. Who do you think is getting the animals off the side of the
highway? Burn it. Pour a bunch of gasoline in there and burn it.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
It's rock. It can't – rock don't burn.
It's right outside my front door.
Oh, it is? It's right there?
Yes. It's right there.
Why did the groundhog have to go there?
Yeah, and where were you shooting from if it's right from your front door?
My front door.
You opened the front door and shot him right in the neck?
Right in the neck.
Five feet away.
I have a scope on this thing.
Dave, do you think that Josh has a rocking chair as well on that front porch?
We do have a
rocking
chair.
Yeah, with his gun.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Sitting there.
Well, it is weird because every time when I see a groundhog and I take my gun out, I'm always thinking I do not want my neighbors to see this. What is he doing?
Did you just poke the gun out between the door and the door is shut?
No, I slow because these things move on the slightest sound.
Yeah.
So I have to slowly go out there, creep out there, not make any noise, and then I can't just poke the gun out the
door. I
think
creep is the operative word here.
Yeah, I think this whole thing is a comedy scene. I'm guessing that the conversation between you and your wife, they're all yelling. Like if it was in all caps,
it's not yelling.
It's all back and forth. Just
it's not yelling, but it is. Yeah. Once we found out what it was, I was kind of relieved that it wasn't my septic, obviously. But at the same time, it's nothing I can remedy.
Why can't one of your kids do it?
They're not going to touch it. I can't get
this
them to take the trash out.
Children. What do they do for you?
Well, my son does take the trash out. That's not true.
This is an extension of that.
Your daughter crashes your business trips, ruins your meetings.
She doesn't ruin my meetings. That was very nice. I enjoyed that time with her.
Did you look up animal removal?
No. I just figured I don't even know. I didn't know what to do. It's crammed in these rocks, and it's not like a big hole. It's not like I can stick my hand in there and go grab it. Not that I would anyway.
They can do it.
Yep. Yeah. Here is a place a mile away from me, Wildlife and Rodent Removal of St. Louis.
There you go.
St. Louis.
That'd be a little far for you.
Yeah, that's too far. Here's the other issue. I don't even know if it's legal for me to kill these things. I think it is because they're vermin.
They don't need to know how it died.
That's denial.
They're going to see a gunshot wound to the neck.
Is this fucking CSI? They're not going to try and evaluate the groundhog.
Omar, when they do their groundhog autopsy.
You're insane.
That's when that expert's going to he's going to cross-examine me on the witness stand.
He died from blood loss, but clearly it was from this gunshot wound to
Isn't
the neck.
Isn't it true that you have the same type of pellets in your house that were found in this groundhog's neck?
Yes.
Two utes. Went into the sack of suds.
This is the fourth groundhog murder in this neighborhood.
It's like
in the last 3 years, we have a serial killer here.
I am a serial killer of groundhogs. Those things are vermin.
Well,
anyway,
should be maybe talking to us before maybe yelling at your wife about this stuff because you would have got.
I wasn't yelling at my wife,
Josh. We have a problem. I love that part.
That's what she said. Josh into a. Level 10, as soon as that happens,
it does. When I hear that, I go,
the Apollo 13.
I can't imagine what it is. I just can't imagine what it is. Anyway, that was my experience. That was my few hours last night.
All right. Yeah. All right, Omar, what's your topic this week?
So,
is there more to that?
No, so I was with my friends the other day, and they were saying how they're married. They're about to have a baby, which is wonderful. My friend Jax and Mateo. And they were saying how they went to this really cool party. And it was we were talking about how sometimes when couples break up, it can be, divorced or whatever. It's a thing, right? And
it is a thing. Yeah, yeah. I read it.
It's sometimes not a very good thing, or often. And they're like, you know, we went to this incredible party, and it was a decoupling party. And what? Do you guys know Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes,
right? I've heard of her.
So yep. You know her thing, right? When she
decoupled,
conscious decoupling. That was what they called it.
I'm aware.
Get past the first 2 or 3 years of hating each other, so to speak.
Yes.
And so a couple had a decoupling party. They actually celebrated.
The two of them together.
Correct.
Get the hell out of here.
I swear. With all their friends and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, wow.
All their friends. They invited all their friends to celebrate the fact that they were no longer going to be a couple.
Correct.
And how the kids feel about that.
And so kids were ecstatic.
The kid, I was being funny.
The kids
funny. They have kids too?
Yeah. It's even easier.
And they were
right?
happy?
Yeah. Well, the kids are younger.
That's not right.
But I guess where I'm going with this is, if you guys remember from one of our previous shows, someone gave me the best reason I've ever had to ever have a kid, which is I have a daily witness to my so-called life, right? Right? To be able to talk about it, right? Et cetera. Daily witness.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits.
Yeah. And that appeals to my ego, which is always a safe starting point, right?
Yes, so, that's correct. That's true.
And then when I heard this, I'm like, oh my God, I need to start dating again. This is the reason to start dating again. Because I want to find someone who I can have that party with.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, Gloria Steinem had this wonderful line, only have kids with somebody who you're comfortable will remarry well. In other words, you know that they're going to be with somebody else who would also be able to help take care of the kids.
Yes, correct.
And
it's
so
an
similar vein, I only want to date someone who, if we ever break up, we can celebrate breaking up.
Here's the problem with that.
What?
Is that you don't know. Well, there's more than one problem, but the main problem is you don't know how you're going to break up or why you're going to break up.
I'm going to talk about this as part of, because this goes back into my overarching theme of this, which is that I am, ladies, watch out. I am officially back on the market today.
Wow.
That's big news. I've not really dated in 2 years. I've not.
Yeah.
I've been supposed to. As a matter of fact, my God, this is a whole nother topic, which I would not do on this one, but this is crazy. I've had some real propositions recently, and I've demurred. But no more demurred.
Why are you demurring?
Not only. Please. Because I just the instincts, the chemistry. But I not only do I owe it to myself, I owe it to my friends, God damn it.
Yeah.
Because my friends who are married, their lives are black and white. They get yelled at. They have problems at their house, whether it's carcasses or like, you know what I mean? Or like,
don't you want a piece of that?
What not? Like, they rely on me for the vicarious upside.
And yeah, I hear you.
None of my friends,
any
vicarious upside for over 2 years. It's only work with me. And I'll ask you guys, are you not sick? Do you sometimes flinch when I call you and talk to you? Like, oh, he's going to talk about work again.
Yes. Oh,
sure.
Let me think about it.
Yeah,
Josh, you go first. I answered too quickly.
Yeah, no, it's yes. There's some flinching.
Okay, I'll answer
you. It's insane. I gotta have some. So I am out there.
You need a balance.
I am going to go on the other side. I'm going to go through a Charlie Sheen phase.
Don't do that. That's too far.
Well, I mean, a modified Charlie Sheen phase. I won't drink any tiger blood, so to speak.
How about an Emilio Estevez phase?
Yeah. So my point is, like, this is when I'm on dates with women, I'm going to say to them, this is my vision of our relationship. It's either we're together as long-term partners, or we have a conscious decoupling party.
Yeah, but again, I'm going to come back to this again. It sounds great when you start, because everyone is amicable when you start.
Right.
It's a matter of whether you're amicable when you're done and the reason why you're done. It's very nice that these people have a conscious decoupling, whatever the hell that means. I get it.
The conscious decoupling party, Josh.
I know what it is. I know what it is. The party part is ridiculous.
That's the whole point of this, though, because they're able to actually just release all that and actually enjoy each other's separation, emancipation, if you will.
Yes, I get it, but they have kids involved, and it's very weird to celebrate the destruction of a
family.
There
are many. I know two specific children who are both my godkids who are incredibly well-rounded, who came from divorced parents.
That certainly
can be
true.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that for kids, regardless of whether it's amicable or whether the parents are friendly to one another and still look good in front of their kids and put on a good show in front of their kids, regardless of that, it's still traumatic for kids to have their parents divorce.
Well,
to break
David,
up.
Hold on.
Because they're not going to live together, right? They're not going to continue to live together as a family unit. Am I right?
Okay. Well, look, we're talking about two different things right now. I ain't having a kid with any woman, for number one.
I get that.
So assume that there's no children involved. Right?
Yeah.
It's a matter of someone who has that mindset about how dating and life is very.
Okay. That's a different story, how you just phrased it. Have the mindset to appreciate a decoupling is very different than having a notion of we're going to have this decoupling when we eventually break up.
Yeah.
Because you don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah, well, with me, I do know where it's going to go.
No. You don't know why it's going to go there. You do know where it's going to go. You don't know how you're going to get there.
Right.
That's the difference.
I got two things to say to this. One is having a decoupling party with the kids there. It's not healthy to have kids see their parents celebrate their separation.
I don't think that's
there
good.
There is no universe where that's
good. Assume that there are no kids there.
Okay,
fine.
So
then it's fine.
Now, that's my second thing I was going to say is I think Omar, once again, sometimes sees things from a different angle. And I think if he's coming into a relationship saying either we are going to be together forever or we're going to end up in a decoupling party.
But happy for each other.
Do you know what it is?
Yes. I think it sets the stage like either this is going to work. And if it doesn't work, we're going to. On the front end, we're going to kind of agree to do this amicably.
Yes.
I can't say that word.
Yes.
You know what this is?
The
you know what this
contract.
Is? I'm going to tell you what this is. Yes. It's an emotional prenup.
Yes.
You're signing an emotional prenup.
I like that.
Here's
not a bad idea.
Here's the problem with it. You don't know what your emotions are going to be at the time of breakup and why the breakup. In a perfect world, if you assign your emotional breakup and you both agree that you don't work as a couple and that you should just, this is just not working for whatever reason. We both agree to it. Fine. And now you could have a nice decoupling. Very nice.
Right.
Yeah.
However, I don't know what percentage of breakups that is, but I'm going to guarantee it's pretty low. And the majority of the time, only one person wants to end it when the other one does not.
Yeah.
And it's usually for reasons that ain't
pretty.
Then
there's not a party. Yeah.
Yes. Then it doesn't work.
Here's the other flaw I do think, now that I'm going to contradict myself, is that if, let's say, you go through a rough patch, if you've already announced the decoupling party as an option, then the exit's quicker. Like, you probably are less likely
to work
through
it.
a hard time.
But
here's what Omar wants.
Yeah.
Here's what you want, Omar. Let me just sum it up for everybody real quick.
Okay. Tell us.
Here's what you think you have versus what you actually have. You witnessed this party and you said, light bulb went off and you said, I have a relationship loophole. I have found it. It is brilliant. I will have her sign an emotional prenup. And that way, things will be rosy all the way through, even when we end. And really, what you want to do, which you're not saying, but it's read between the lines, is you want them to agree in advance that when the day comes that I break up with you, you're going to be happy about it.
right.
And that ain't always the way.
I'll take a step further. I think he wants to break up more than he wants to go out with this person. Like, you're looking forward to the breakup.
He just wants the breakup to be clean, and he's so happy that it will be clean after seeing this.
No, I'm saying it's further. He wants to date that girl so that he can someday break up with her. I think he wants to.
Wait, but girls don't want that.
Yeah.
You're telling them, I'm eventually going to dump you. I don't know when it's going to be.
I can't wait.
I will eventually do this. And then we're going to have an awesome party together. And that works if you're Gwyneth Paltrow. It does not work if you are a jaded lover who put all her time and energy into you and wants to continue the relationship when you don't.
Give it a chance. I want to see this. I want to see this go.
I'm going to go on a date in the next whatever.
Wonderful.
Whatever, and I'm going to mention this as one of my my deal breakers. If you're unable to commit to a decoupling party,
okay,
then we're clearly not on the same page.
All right. I would at least wait till the second date to do that. Don't do that on the first date. And if it's on the first date, at least wait till dessert. Don't hit that in the appetizer. That's a little too early to talk about something like that. Hey, all first right. date, let's talk about the thing.
I do think this is a loophole, but I think it's a loophole for both of us.
It can be. It might be. But what I'm saying is don't rest
you're saying
all your –
I'm not Chris Martin is what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that either. What I'm saying is this works – let's call it 2 out of 100 times. Because when it ends, they both agree it ends. What I'm saying is that's not the norm.
No, you're right. My last ex, last two I've been in did not end. It was a.
Do you think if you had brought it up front, it would have gone ended better?
No, because they have to be ready. Look, this is, you have to.
Maybe
you have
the first
to, like this, like the submarine. You both have to turn your missile keys for this, okay?
Yeah.
A decoupling party ain't happening if she ain't turning her missile key. And the only way she's turning her missile key is if she agrees with you the relationship should end.
Yep.
And if she doesn't, then that's it. There's no part. You don't go, hey, listen, whatever her name is. Sorry, but this is not working for me. We gave it a good run. I'm sorry, but we're going to have to end the relationship. When would you like to throw the party? I'm thinking like maybe
free?
Like
Thursday,
a roller skating theme. We could do crossovers. Can you do crossovers in roller skating? Because we'll do that too, and I'll get Journey going. And,
all right. And maybe you're right. I need to do a work
maybe,
on this.
Maybe.
Josh, don't stop. I want to – this would be a fun party to go to. So let's –
oh, I would love to go. Yeah. I would love to go.
I
yeah.
think – let's – before
don't
I discourage him. Here's
yeah.
the thing, Omar, too, is you're probably going to end up dating a certain type of person that's going to agree to this. But that might be fine. You might be okay with that. It might be a weeding out process that you – like the sweet girl who will stick by you through thick and thin. You may not want that kind of girl.
It's a timing thing, and this is the stars aligned for this type of shit to work.
Well, he's got to try it.
Okay. Mm. For the sake of the podcast, I want him to try it.
What do we know? We're the worst people to ask this question.
Are we? We've been through life.
Look, the important thing in this is that I am getting back into the dating
yes,
market.
That's
takeaway
you
here.
I'm
going to
start
that.
Doing it. I'm not going to withhold my juices and my love. And
yeah, that was a weird phrase right
maybe
there.
Maybe juices was the – I meant like – sorry.
Did you mean that metaphorically?
My vibes.
Yeah. When you said juices, you meant metaphorically,
yes.
correct? Let me
yes.
just clear the air here.
Yes.
I don't know how else it could be interpreted.
So I'm very excited about that. So
good. I'm excited for you.
Promise me you'll use the line of buying a drink even though you don't expect it. I thought that was such a great
the line. He bought a drink and then said,
I don't want to talk to you.
I don't want
to
talk
say word to you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to buy you a drink.
Just want to buy a drink.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a great move.
Yeah, please give that one. I want to see more of – I want to know if that works more or not.
Yes. Yeah. All right.
Well, that's – now we know. We'll get some updates from you now in a new area, which will be good. Thank goodness it's no longer about work. Goodness sakes.
Too much.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for suffering that for the last two years.
We are excited to take this new journey with you and suffer in a different way.
Not to say the old journey of the work hasn't been very profitable and
it's
fun.
Very
like
good.
I think we've enjoyed that too, but
we've enjoyed
I think
that.
It's time. I think it's time for you
it's
to
time. It's time.
It's time
to diversify. Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Good deal. Have we covered the landscape here, guys?
I think we have.
I think we've answered some questions. I've got an email to go out. Josh has got a person to
I got a carcass
call.
To remove. Yeah.
And Omar's got a new life in front of him. It's really exciting.
I do. And a party to plan for. 6 to 9 months from now.
Yeah. Maybe have the first one in New York or something so we can all go.
That'd be great.
We'll do it in London.
Yeah.
Done.
So, or Puerto Rico. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for this week. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Friends at FTS.media is our website. And check us out on YouTube, Instagram, our website, TikTok, all at Friends Talking Shop. And please, what is it? Smash that pound button, hit the like.
Smash that like, hit that subscribe, or something like that.
Yeah, something
subscribe
like that.
And
so
like what you see.
Make Friends Talking Shop part of your life.
There you go.
Well, until next time, everyone, we'll see you later.
See ya.
No, yeah.